What's up, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Luis, and I am a co-host on the Selected Series podcast. Now, you may be wondering, what is Selected Series? Well, I'll tell you. It's a platform designed for individuals to tell their story, to inspire listeners, and to create genuine conversations. My co-host David and I got the chance to get into the mindset of DJ and producer / Selected Series audio engineer, Rene Tovar, a.k.a. Disco. He shares a story about his upbringing, his love for the IE music scene, the DJ community, and his passion for music. Man, we're very excited for y'all to hear it, and we hope you enjoy. All right, let's do this. Episode 1 of Selected Series with special guest Disco. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Selected Series, Episode 1. I'm your host, Luis.
And I'm your host, David.
And we got the talented, the one and only, Disco in the house.
What up?
What's going on?
What's good, guys?
So, Disco, Episode 1, man. We're super excited to have you on here.
It's an honor, man.
Yeah, man, like, there's a lot of excitement behind starting this, and then, you know, even more exciting to have our first guest on, and I think we got a good show ahead of us.
Most super excited. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited, man.
So, tell us, man. We want to start this with you telling us, you know, some good news, something you're excited about or something you got going on that you want to share with everybody.
Well, I mean,
and you don't got to share too much if you don't want.
Nah, you're good. I mean, I got a lot of good shit coming up soon. I just dropped my website recently. Shout out to David, man. He helped me out with a lot of that stuff. But I got a lot of music dropping. I got a mix coming out on the 17th of this month of April. That's going to be real dope. It's going to be kind of a narrative mix, per se. I've never done that before. But
Explain that for the people that don't know what it is.
So it's basically going to be a mix of music. It's going to be called Vibes. And it's going to be a bunch of music that it just hits your soul kind of thing. But what I'm going to be doing for the first time, I've never done before in my mixes, is actually like narrate certain parts of it, go in and talk a little bit about, you know, why I put the song in or whatnot, and kind of give people a little bit of background of why I did choose the song, you know. But I'm excited for that, dude. And then what's
the type of music that you're gonna be?
It's gonna be like future R&B, R&B. It's gonna be real slow and like laid back. It's gonna be sexy music for the soul.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, man.
So tell me, what are some things that you learned through the process of putting Vibes together?
Ooh, man. Well, right now, I mean, I had been talking to David a little bit before this about Vibes. It's like a healing process to put certain, like, especially music like that together. You know, it's like real healing, and that's what I want it to like be for other people, you know what I'm saying? Like healing for them and whatever it may be. I mean, it could be relationship stuff, life stuff, whatever, but the music that I put in there is so, it just fucking like pulls at your emotional strings, you know? Right. And but at the same time makes you want to dance too, you know? So, I mean, I don't want to say I learned anything from it, but I think it's more like healing. And I think that's like the biggest part of like why I want to do it.
Yeah. All right. And
would you say you're in a transition period for yourself to grow?
Definitely, man. Definitely in a transitional period. And I think it's good because I have a lot less on my plate in a certain part of life to now
focus
and zone in on certain parts, which is like obviously my music and, you know, and other stuff, health and all that good stuff. So it's a good thing, man. It's going to be It's going to be a good couple months and a good summer.
What's been your biggest drive to keep you going?
You know what, man? My biggest drive in general with this music stuff, dude, is it's like longevity, dude. It's being part of music history. I want to be able to, like, grow old, and then when I die, I want to be able to leave some kind of, like, stamp in this little tiny part of music history, because it's one of those things where it's like, even when I died, like, damn, Disco was a sick-ass DJ. Man, Disco was a dope producer. You know, like, that's my biggest thing with this whole music thing is, like, I want to leave some kind of stamp. Just how the dudes, when they started hip-hop in Brooklyn and all that shit, like, all those people, there's people that are not famous or anything, but they were a part of that era, and they saw that shit, you know, and they were around it. And, like, I'm a part of this whole music scene with the IE now moving out here, getting in touch with people out here. Like, I want to have a stamp in it so that people won't forget me, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's my biggest fucking drive.
So how so? So tell me how you've been involved with music in the IE.
Man, oh, shit, dude. All right. Well, I mean, it first started in college. I was doing, like, the college parties, and then got into the club scene, and then coincidentally I started messing with, like, some rappers out there. And being involved in the IE scene and seeing it grow, and then seeing it where it's now, I don't want to say it hasn't grown, because it's growing. It's just going into different paths and seeing, like, what it was from going from nothing to, like, people actually developing into real artists. And then, you know, then people branching out and going their own ways and doing their own things and, you know, going on tour and seeing how much effect a little city or a little bit of artists have on everywhere else. It's kind of, like, inspiring.
Hey, Disco, would you consider yourself an IE artist or a Coachella Valley artist? I mean, because where did you start? Here or in college?
I mean, I started making beats in high school, and I always had a saying, it's not where you're from, but where you're found. And I found myself in the IE, like, musically and all that stuff. So I do consider myself an IE artist, but now that I'm back, I'm kind of, like, split. I see myself more, like, as a SoCal artist now, you know? Like, I don't like to, like, box myself into, because it's, like, you know, if I say I'm just an IE artist, it's just like, you're just an IE artist, you know, or you're just from Palm Springs or CV, you're just from there, you know. So, I mean, yes and no, but no.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, that's good. Yeah, and I think we can all relate to that, right? Because none of us really want to be boxed in.
Yeah,
no, for sure. A good example is trying to think of a name for our podcast or whatever you want to call it. I think we had some names as far as desert, as far as you know, a huddle, Coachella, stuff like that. We had that in mind, but we didn't want to box ourselves in.
You want to rep where you're from, but at the same time, you don't want to isolate yourself from the rest of.
Yeah, if you ask us where we're from, we'll tell you. You know, proud, but
yeah, rep it
as
hard.
As far as a name and. You know, we didn't want to box ourselves in, so I see where you're coming from with that, definitely.
Yeah. And then changing your because I know you from when we were mocosos. You changed your name a couple of times, right?
Shit,
oh man,
this shit is funny. Okay,
let's touch on that.
Oh man, so the boys in the soccer and we used to play soccer together. used to call me Hollywood because I would come to practice late as fuck with my sunglasses on, not giving a fuck. And the coach, this fucking coach, stupid. And the coach is like, you know, he says something along the line like, "Let's fucking Hollywood motherfucker," you know. And ever since then, that's stuck, you know. I was fucking Hollywood for a long time. Even in college, like, I told some of my friends, like, yeah, it's my nickname, Hollywood, you know.
You know, but it wasn't to talk smack. I think it was more out of endearment, because out of everybody, we thought that you were going to become this, like, Hollywood star.
I never.
Just the way, you carried yourself, and you had a swag about you, and so we were just kind of more like hating. Yeah, just like this guy, who does he think he is, you know?
You know what, dog? I never knew that, dog. And I mean, I always saw myself like dorky as fuck in high school, you know? I try to be friends with everybody and every group, you know? So I always try to belong somewhere, you know? So that's funny now that you tell me that, bro. It's kind of flattering in a way. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, like, think about it. You were freshman, yeah. You started as a varsity goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And so we were always like, oh, this guy's playing. It was just you and two other guys were...
It was me, Tony, and John, I think, dude.
Or no, and then, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because we all played with Pachuca.
I think Tootie was on that team.
You know
as
what?
Well.
It might have been Tootie.
Yeah.
It might have been Tootie instead of... No, I think it was four. But yeah.
So then you're saying that you like that nickname and you took it to the
I took it to the IE for a while, and that's so funny because I didn't see it like that. I just was like, I just think I'm Hollywood, so all right.
Yeah, we would yell that down the hallway.
Hollywood. You know, and after a little bit into like my college years, sometimes I would bump into David, you know, or like other people, and they'd be like, Hollywood. I'd be like, fuck, I still never forget. Never forget.
And then from there, what happened?
So after that, you know, I tried to develop, when I started DJing, I wanted to develop like a DJ name, and then I came up with Kid Disco. So Kid Disco was, kind of like tipping my hat off to like the old school DJs, because like back in the day they were like Kid This, Kid That, Kid Fresh, Kid Millionaire. So I chose Disco because it came from discoteca, which was like obviously in Spanish. So I just kind of shortened it, and I went with that, you know, Kid Disco, kid and then D-I-S-K-O. Oh fuck, that was cringe, dude. But then, you know, I developed as an artist and as a DJ. And in 2013, after going on tour, I was like, dude, I gotta rebrand myself. Like I gotta drop the kid. I'm not no kid anymore, you know. So I decided to X out the I and just went with Disco. Because let me explain that though a little bit. I started messing with the hip hop scene. So they wouldn't call me Kid Disco. They would be like, what up, Disco? You know, all that. So Disco, what up, Disco? So okay, I started liking the ring of that. Like, they just calling me by one name. Okay, I like that. So I just rolled with it. And shout out to Curtis King and Noah. They kind of helped me like rebrand myself and be like, you know what? Go with it, dog. That sounds dope. So yeah, that's where I went with that. So here we are, Disco.
How'd you come up with the spelling of it? Because you spell it a little unique, right? That
yeah. Well, that I think it was just like the growing up of like, I want to make it. I'm like an obsession with X's, man. Like the X in names, bro, is like, I don't know. It's fucking sexy to me, I guess, you know. So I had to put X out the I, yeah, you know. And it's just like, that was why I wanted to come up with that. And it's funny because at first people would be like, Dasco, or like
they try to pronounce it with the X.
It's like, I always have to tell people that they don't know. It's like Disco pronounced Disco, like, because right, you know, I'll fuck it up.
And does this music thing go back even before high school?
Yeah, man. I used to play the drums when I was like 5. My parents brought me like a drum set, and I just to fucking go to town in that shit, you know. But it was just like for fun, you know. It was like I play it, and you know, I make a lot of fucking noise in the apartment that we used to live in, and in 5th grade or something, I played the clarinet, I think, or like the flute, or I don't know what the fuck I played. I wanted to continue it, but just soccer became my passion at that time, you know, like as a kid in 6th grade and up. But yeah, so after the clarinet stuff and the drums and all that good stuff, and actually like in my sophomore year of high school, I had this video game called MTV Music Generator, and I make some whack ass beats. They had these samples, and you could like manipulate them however you want. But it was like Outkast and like Snoop Dogg, and I would show my mom too, like, look, mom, this shit's tight, huh? She'd be like, see, mijo. I'm like, yeah. So she fucking gassed me up. So I kept making fucking beats. I mean, Shout out to that video game. Shout out to MTV Music Generator.
Shout out to your mom for believing in you.
Shit, dude. She's my number one fan, bro.
Not saying, oh my God, Renee, stop. Or,
you know, she could have.
Turn that off. Yeah. Go outside
you know, or something. You know, and after that, after the whole MTV Music Generator, she gave me her, I was like 16 or 17. She gave me her desktop. Big ass fucking desktop. And that was like in the MySpace days. So like that was, you know, I fucking download everything on like Napster or LimeWire or whatever the hell. So I downloaded Fruity Loops illegally. Don't sue me. This is a long time ago. I was underage.
Hey, man. I think we all illegally downloaded in our time.
So I fucking bootlegged Fruity Loops and I fucking started making beats on there. And once again, beats were whack as fuck. But it was just a part of like letting me be creative with it, you know, and I just fucked with that for a really long time. And then my first year of college, I started messing with Virtual DJ. Oh, man, that shit makes me cringe. Virtual DJ, man, I was using off, like, my laptop, and, like, I hooked up to, like, I don't know what, fucking speaker it was. And I would just DJ for my friends in our dorm. And they would just drink, like, $10 bottles of vodka with orange juice or Tampico or whatever. And we would just fucking party, dog. And I would play EDM. All it was before it was EDM, dude. It was dance music, you know? Like,
and we would just fucking party. You got somebody by the wall just flipping off the light on and off?
Literally, dude. No, that's probably, like, one of the memories is, like, one of the... Oh, Jordana. You remember Jordana?
Yes.
Dog, it was her. It was Luis Canas. Luis Canas?
I know.
They were my road dogs in college, bro. They were my road dogs. And they were one of the first two people that were like, that's funny, right? Like, now I think about it, dog, and I'm talking about it now. Like, how funny is somebody from out here in the valley that I met up back in college, became their friends, and they encouraged me to be like, yeah, fucking DJ. You know what? Shout out Jordana and Luis, because without them, I would have been like, oh, should I do this? And I wouldn't have done it, dude. And yeah, dog, that's crazy now that I think about it. Damn. Good days, man. Good times. For real. But yeah, so we did that. We partied for a little bit, and one of my fraternity brothers gave me a shot at DJing one of their parties, and all I played was like EDM mashups with hip hop, like Drake EDM songs, and they fucking hated it. Some the girls liked it, but the boys were like all this fucking EDM shit. And it's so funny now, all these fools go to raves now. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, yeah, it's so funny, dude.
It's
like,
everywhere.
You know, it's like they were hating on that back in the day, but now they fucking love that shit. I'm like, dude, you fucking haters.
You remember dubstep?
Oh, man, I fucking love dubstep, dude. Old school dubstep, yeah. I mean, the new stuff is cool, too. I mean, but my neck will hurt after, you know.
Yeah.
You seen
when
that?
It first came out.
Have you guys ever seen that Key and Peele dubstep skit?
Yep.
They start bleeding. So yeah. This fool puts it on. And then after, like, the third time, they start bleeding from their ears. And then by the fucking fourth time, it's supposed to jump out the window because it's so... It's fucking
shit's
ridiculous.
Vibrating, breaking, yeah, like, dude. Everything's just going crazy.
What's that
EDM? Is that...
So it's electronic dance music, but...
For those that are, you know, that are...
So it's... I'm going to hate on that name because it umbrellas all of the dance music. So it's electronic dance music, but it's... It umbrellas everything, and there's so much to dance music. There's house, there's deep house, there's dubstep, there's progressive house, there's fidget house, there's all these kinds of house that, like, people don't really know. And EDM, off top, people just think it's, like, the mainstream stuff, the stuff at the rave. But honestly, dude, I love going to raves, and I used to love really going to raves a lot before, like, this whole, like, everybody gets fucked up era. To go listen to the DJs, bro, that was, and you know what? And that's kind of a good thing that we're bringing that up, because that's what inspired me, dude. I used to go to this club, Sevilla, in Riverside, and this is back in the day when, like, Stevie Aoki wasn't famous. Like, he was known, but it wasn't, it was this club called Club Ave on Wednesdays. And I would go and see all these DJs that weren't even, like, big at that time, but Crystal Castles would come.
Dope.
Like, all these sick ass DJs, and being exposed to that scene, I mean, that's when I went from, like, a wannabe cholo or whatever the hell I thought I was in high school, a little whatever the hell, to like actually being like, you know what, I want to be like this. Like, I want to be this kind of, you know, and I started dressing different and fucking grew my hair out. And all that inspired me to want to DJ. And seeing how they made everybody dance and all that stuff, I was like, damn, I want to do that, you know. And like that whole scene and that whole era, that's kind of what I was talking about before, is I was a part of music history because, doc, Stevie Aoki poured vodka in my mouth. Like, I have pictures. I have to look that up. Dog, it's me wild. And Jordana. Like, nobody knew who he was, and I was, like, starstruck because I was like, oh, shit.
Was he throwing cakes? Was he throwing cakes?
Nah, this is way back then. This is in the electro days, dude. Right. Like, man, those were good days. That was when his whole pillow face era. I don't know if you guys remember that. He was just crazy. Like, he wasn't crazy, like, cake crazy, but, like, this fool he was walking around with a bottle of vodka. And I was just like, oh, man, can I get a picture? We took a picture at the booth. He was so tight. He put, like, a bottle of vodka on Jordana's head. And then after, like, he just offers us the bottle and or shots. But it's things like that where it's, like, I saw that, and I was a part of that whole history of, like, these fools coming there and that. And then seeing them blow up is, like, damn. Like, 2 years ago, I was just pouring vodka in my mouth. And now this fool's throwing cake at fucking people, you know? Like, that shit was mad inspiring. I mean, the partying was fun, but the whole scene there was inspiring. Because once it died from there, that's when I saw the rise of, like, the rave scene going ham. Like, that's when that little girl died in 2010 at EDC. That's when they moved EDC to Vegas. Because people were just getting way too fucked up, dude.
Is that the transition that you took from that rave scene to maybe the hip hop scene?
Yeah. You know what, dude? Yeah, it was. Because, I mean, and I'm not going to lie, like, I loved partying, but I even caught myself, like, partying too hard. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I was always, like, the grandpa to my friends, because I would always try to steer them the right way. Because after I kind of woke up, and I was like, dude, that can't be fucking doing this.
During that time, were you still in school?
I was in college.
So you were doing all that and still going to class? Like, yeah, making it to class Monday morning?
Fuck, dude, half drunk, but I was fucking doing it, dude. And that's the thing. It was such a dope scene that it's like, I think almost everybody in the IE at that time was a part of that. If you like dance music, you were in it, dude. And that's what was dope about it. They had Gotham City and San Bernardino. And that's when they had, like, a double-sided, like, one side was hip hop, one side was EDM. And, like, it was like 16 and up, and, like, kids would go and get fucked up. And that's the thing now that I look at it and I'm like, I was sad.
So would they show up fucked up because they couldn't drink?
No, dude, they would be fucking popping, like, mollies and shit in there. That's actually, you know what? This was before the mollies. This was, like, when people were doing, like, mad, like, press pill. It was sad, dude. And a lot of people were, like, getting, like, taken advantage of. And
is that the same area that, what's that place? Is it Eye Candy or was it, there was a spot that in high school we went over. I don't know if it was in San Bernardino. It was, like, some Eye Candy, or I think that's what the name of the place was. And we showed up and there was, like, people having sex on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Like, it was wild.
Bro. Yeah.
I don't think we ever did that again, but we took a trip out there and in the middle of the dance floor, just going crazy, just pants down, just, I don't know, it was crazy.
Man. Yeah, dog. No. Yeah, that was that whole era, dog. That shit was, it was as beautiful as it was, because the music, that's what got EDM, like, huge, you know. It was like all the youngsters and all that stuff, but people got carried away with, like, the whole drug scene, and they got way too in depth that shit. And it's now, it's still now, I mean, people go, I mean, 3/4 of the people that go, dude, go get fucked up, you know, like, I mean, friends of mine, I could fucking say that too, like, good friends of mine were just, they lost their love for the music. I mean, yeah, they loved the music, but they were just going to get fucked up. And that's why I, going back, you know, to where you asked, that's why I steered away from that, because I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And And I started, you know, fucking with hip hop and getting all, you know, familiar with the IE artists, and then, you know, eventually going on tour 2-3 times.
Could you name some of the yeah. artists that came out of the Inland Empire?
Put us on game, on
man. Shout out. Okay, so shout out. I first ran into Curtis King. Curtis King. So I first ran into Curtis King in 2012, I think it was. And then I bumped into Noah James. So they were all a part of this this label called Black Cloud Music, man. And shout out to Black Cloud Music. Its CEO was Jinx. David May was in it. Phantom Threat. Fame Kills. This label, man, was the best label in that AE, man. And we ran shit. We ran shit for a long time. But basically, kind of to give you guys a little preview into like how I became a part of that. I honestly, Dark, I would go to their shows and I would ask them like, yo, do you guys need a DJ? Like, I could be you guys' DJ. Can I DJ? You know? And one time Noah asked me like if I could DJ for Curtis for his like at a House of Blues show in Anaheim at the Disney, downtown Disney. It was him in opening for MERS. And dog, I literally got my phone. I had a gig at like Sevilla's or like at Tilt or whatever the hell it was. And I canceled my gig so I could DJ for them, you know? And that's when he was like, after that, dude, that's when I started fucking with you, because I saw you like straight up just be like, quit or not quit, but like call off some just so I could fuck with them, you know? And like, that's what got my foot in the door, dude. It was like my dedication going out to all their shows, going to Pomona, going to wherever, just so that they could see me, obviously, but so they can know, like, yo, I'm eager to do this, you know, I want to do this, you know. And
so at that time, did you have material that you were showing to them that they checked out, or did you have mixes?
Nah, dude, I did a what was it, like a release party for this band called What Hands Are For. Shout out What Hands Are For. And they're not together anymore, but they were one of my favorite bands in the IE. And it was like two of my fraternity brothers, but anyways, that were in it. But anyways, they had a show and they had Black Cloud Music on the roster, and then I was like the DJ for the night. So I did their set, and I mean, fucking, they loved that shit. I was like scratching and doing all that shit. So they were just kind of like, oh, fuck yeah, this guy's fucking dope, you know? And not to toot my own horn, but I think that's what kind of got me
in the...
Toot, toot, toot.
Hey, what kind of feeling did you have getting home or laying in your bed that night? Like, were you like on cloud nine, or what? How did you feel?
Dog, shit, man. The night that I officially did the show with Curtis, like going home, I was like, fuck, this is it, dude. Like, what? Like, this is what I want my life to be, dude. And is like working with artists and doing this kind of shit, because I saw like the grand scale of like what things could be, you know. It's like performing in front of all these people. Like before though, I was like choked up, dude. Like right before stage, I was like, I told Noah, like, give me some water, dude, because I had never been in front of that many people, you know. Like it was a full crowd. I don't know if you guys have ever been to House of Blues, but that's a big like stage, you know, like for anybody to be on. So for them to like want me to be their DJ and do that, it was cool, man. It was dope. It was cloud now for sure.
How long did you ride with these guys?
So I was with them for about, I want to say 4 years, dude. And then, unfortunately, Black Cloud Music, we broke up. We went our separate ways, you know, in differences, you know, all that stuff. But now we're all cool with each other, and, you know, we got a lot of love for each other. And Black Cloud Music is still a label. Shout out to Jinx. There's still a big label on the IE. He's one of the best producer engineers that I know. I branched out and I just officially worked with Noah, Curtis King, and Fame Kills, and David May. He's actually an artist from fucking Covina, I want to say. I just solely started working with them for a good while. And then Curtis stopped rapping. about, I want to say like 2 years ago, but I was kind of doing most of a lot of his stuff for a while. But the longest one that I obviously rode with was Noah and Fame, and yeah. But I mean, we worked time to time with Curtis. But yeah, dude, all three of them are fucking inspirational, brother. Fucking crazy artists, and that's somebody who I would recommend you guys to bring in. You know, that, all three of them, maybe on separate occasions, but they're fucking, they're good guys, man. They're my brothers for sure.
Do you have any projects working with? Do you have any
yeah.
music?
Yeah, release? Dude. Actually, with Curtis and Fame, I got a song on Apple Music. It's called Wishing Well. It was on Fame Kills' album. That was actually like one of my first beat placements. With Noah, I have multiple tracks on Apple Music. The first track I produced for him was the Orca 2, and that was like one of my first beats ever, bro. And that kind of to get into like me making beats, he was one of the people that was like, dog, your beats are dope. Like, drop that shit. Because I would be very hesitant. And the kind of person that I am, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to a lot of things. You know, as clutter brain as I am, I don't like to release anything if it doesn't sound professional or if it doesn't sound good. So, I hoarded beats for a really long time. I still do at times, you know. And, you know, obviously now I'm more comfortable with showing people my stuff, but he was one of the first people to be like, dog, this shit is dope. You know what? Let me rap over this shit. Because Noah could rap over fucking anything. Like, you could give him a fucking African beat, he'll, dog, anything, dude. Like, anything that folk could rap over. So he did that. And after that, dog, I was like, you know what? I can do this shit. You know, like, I can fucking, my beats are really different than the normal hip hop. And the normal whatever, but I think that's what gives me my unique sound. Cause like when people hear, I want people to be like, oh shit, that's a disco beat, you know, like no matter what it is, you know. So, yeah.
So, do you think it just took a second listen or a second opinion on your music for it to change your mind? And
yeah, it was like a seventh opinion for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, they changed my mind, man. My friends around me and rappers around me. Around 86 June, shout out to 86 June. There, people like that, you know, that really changed my mind on that and made me want to make beats.
So besides your friends, where else do you gather inspiration or you know, what gets you up and out of bed in the morning to go up and get up and keep making music?
I mean, I think it's just the drive of not being stagnant. A lot of people do a lot of stuff and they feel entitled because I've done this much. I don't got to do no more. You know what I'm saying? And, sure. You know, in these past couple years have been kind of rebuilding years for me. I think mentally. So now that I kind of know what the heck I want to do, you know, there's people around me, especially now moving out here, you know, like David and a few friends from back home, like Pablo and people like that. Like he works with a clothing line. Like the people that I see grinding makes me want to grind too. Cause I'm like, fuck, like if they could do it, if they could keep pushing, fuck, like wake up, you ain't tired, dog. Let's do this. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then them keep pushing me too is like a big inspiration of like, want to better myself. People believing in me. I think that's been my biggest thing is sometimes I don't see how much potential I have. So when people believe in me, I'm like, fuck, I can't do this shit. I can't fucking do this or that or whatever the hell I want to do, you know?
Have there ever been any roadblocks, like any negative feedback or any negative noise? Or is it just because, you know, for a lot of people, it's sometimes, you know, their own opinion or it's themselves setting roadblocks. So what about for you, dude?
Definitely myself. But I don't want to say, like, other people giving me, like, bad, like, this or that. But
would you even listen to that?
I do. And I take it with, what is it, with a grain of salt or whatever the saying is.
Yeah, that's it.
I do, bro. But I know if I let it go in, I'm a sensitive-ass person, bro. And I'll let it hurt me. And then I'll fucking won't want to do this or that. So I've, through the years, kind of learned to, like, block anything that I don't want to fucking hear out. But I mean, yeah, dog, like anybody, you know, there's negative times, you know, times where you're like I love the IE, man, but I had to leave the IE because it was getting stagnant. It was getting stagnant. I wasn't DJing as much as I wanted to. I didn't quit the club scene, but I, because I was so concentrated on the hip hop scene, I wasn't working on myself. I was dedicating myself to other artists and doing all this. And now that I'm out here, it's given me a lot of clarity of like rebuilding myself. Because now it's like I have all these things under my belt, but not a lot of people know that. But now it's like, because I know that, I want to rebuild it and, you know, become the artist that I truly want to be, you know. And it takes people to help too, you know. You can't just do this on your own. But yeah.
How do you get by when you have slow nights? Let's say you go out and you, you're DJing and the crowd is not feeling it or something.
That fucking pisses me off.
It's just I'm only asking because, you know, there's peaks and, you know, peaks and valleys, and then there's that times where
definitely
you're hitting that scratcher, your DJ. Let's say you came up with something clever for that night, and then it's just crickets.
Yeah, well, yeah, dog. There's times where I'm like, man, because I don't really plan my sets, but right. I have selected songs that I'm like, all right, I want to play this kind of stuff, you know, or like there's specific nights where it's like, this is a this kind of night or this, you know, and I have all this stuff ready, and then I do it, and I'm like, I don't get the reaction that I want, so I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm just gonna go back and play this kind of shit, you know, or like, all right, fuck it, I'm gonna play some cumbias because you know, this is what they want to fucking hear, you know, but that, I mean, that's not all the time. That's, I want to say that's 40% of the time when people are. It's hard. I don't want to say it's hard being a DJ, but it's hard being a DJ when you have nights like that, and want to. The thing that motivates me is obviously getting paid at the end of the night, you know. But at the same time, it's like the other thing that motivates me is like I'm here and I'm putting my name out, and there's gonna be one or two or three people because I have regulars that come out to my shows, and it's been. I've got them regulars because they're the only four girls dancing on the dance floor. But at the end of the night, they're like, you're so dope. Blah, blah. Give me your Instagram. I got to come to the next show, you know? And like little by little, I've, you know, especially at BART, that's where I DJ a lot at is where like I get a lot of my regulars, but now branching out into like different things like Moxie and the Ace, which is a dope ass look, man. That was really fun. We did that the last 3 months. But things like that where it's, and that's the thing too, is like, I don't really want to do too much club shit anyways anymore. You know, I want to do shit that's going to get money in my pocket, you know? And if it's private events and more like corporate shit and all that shit, like I'd rather do that 1,000 times more, you know? It has its negatives and its positives, man, for sure.
So tell me, what are some common myths about, you know, being a DJ, being a musician?
Definitely, like, the whole you getting laid every night thing, that shit. Like, I mean, look, dude, throughout my years, I've had my share. That's college?
Yeah.
College? Okay, that was different. I don't know, man. I was getting asked for just no reason, but I'm sure being a DJ was help. But now as, like, an adult. That's like, you know, that's like a fucking myth, dude. Like, you know, fucking getting ass every fucking night, dude. That's bullshit. But also, like the whole, like, man, you're balling because you're a DJ, you know? Like, yeah, there's some nights, dude, where I make great money. But then there's some nights where I'm like looking at the promoter like, you're giving me this? Bro, I was here standing on my feet for 5 hours playing everything that these people wanted to play, you know? And that too, you know, it's like, That's the way of business, and I mean I've been used to it. I've been doing this what 2007 8, so I'm used to it, but now I'm starting to see and starting to direct myself into better avenues, you know, when it comes to all that.
You're working on your what's that word? your value.
Yeah.
You're working on that. And since, like, I can relate to that with being a designer.
Yeah.
And I read a post on Instagram where I've always worked like this, but you can't undervalue what you're doing. And you're doing a service. And so if you cut your legs underneath or from underneath you, it always backfires. And so you're just going to end up getting tired, pissed off. So.
No, yeah, I agree, dude. I agree.
So tell the listeners, what are some specific roadblocks to watch out for and you know, in the journey of a hustler, of a musician, of a DJ?
I mean, it's really that. It's like, keep hustling, you know, if this is really what, if you're just doing it for the wrong reasons, you know, like getting ass or this or that, then don't do it. You know, because this is a grind. This is a constant grind every fucking week. And it's really, obviously, believing in yourself. It is okay to have help. And really be ready for the good nights and the bad nights, dude. Because that's really what it really comes down to, man. It's just like, any DJ will tell you this, dude. Good, like, I don't want to say good DJs. Famous DJs. Lower tier DJs, like, they'll all tell you this, like, no matter what, who you are, you have good nights and you have bad nights. I mean, I don't have ever a bad night where, like, somebody doesn't like music, but
hey.
No, I'll pride myself in that, but
that comes with experience. Yes. Because yes, you can kind of tell if this guy kind of inflates himself and then all of a sudden goes to, like, for instance, how you said, was it the Hard Rock?
Yeah, where the Ace and all that.
No,
yeah.
No, but back where there was a bunch of people, you said you were super nervous.
Oh,
you're going to be able to tell who the fakers are and who the real DJs are.
Yeah, dog. Especially with the DJ world, because there's so many DJs now, man. There's so many DJs. Everybody thinks they're a fucking DJ. But, and you have a point. I could go and do a night, and no matter what it is, if I need to change it up, I do whatever to make these people dance, you know? Like, I am a music pleaser when it comes to that. And a lot of DJs, they don't know that, dude. You know, they're straight up EDM DJs, you know what I'm saying? Like, they
they're not reading the crowd.
They can't read the crowd, dude. And that's my biggest thing, is I have to read the crowd. If I don't see anybody dancing, what can I do? I don't care if I have to play music that I don't really like. But as my duty as a DJ and for myself, for myself and for my own pride, I want them to dance. So if I gotta fucking download 1,000 cumbias so that next time they're dancing, I'm gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? And I love all kinds of music, man. So I don't really hate on anything. I just don't do country. Fuck country.
What about that that new country song that just came out?
Oh yeah,
man, that shit is whack, dude.
I got the horses in the back.
Tell me, okay, you know, I'll probably like it like in a week or two. I just gotta listen to it because I'm like, I seen the videos and I'm like,
yeah. Well, I thought I was a DJ until I had this sit down with you, man.
Oh man, no, and you know what, dude? I'm not hating on DJs that are like that.
Nah, see, man, I'm talking about shuffling through my iPhone. That's it.
Nah, dude.
Send the ox on fire,
bro. You could be any kind of DJ as long as you have good song selection. You know what I'm saying? Like that, dog. You could be DJing on a laptop, bro. We've all been there. We all started from somewhere. So, nah, dude, like that shit. If you really find pride in that, then that's your thing, dude. Like, you the Ox DJ, bro. Like, that's good.
All right, I feel better now.
Nah, dude. And that's a big thing in the DJ culture, dude, is like, there's a lot of hate in the DJ culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, you got to be, you know, the best scratcher in the world. Or, man, that shit's whack. Like, like, there's so many haters. And I'm sure it comes with anything, you know, graphic design, anything where, you know, people are purists. I fucking hate purists, dude. People that don't like change from the original ways. I mean, like anything, dude, everything needs to grow, dude. And that's the thing, is like, people start hating on people with like the controllers, you know. I could do the same thing on a controller that I could do with turntables. And you know what? I don't got to buy new needles. And you know what? I could put this in a bag and put it in the back of my car and put it on my shoulder, put it in the back of the car, and not have to trip about carrying 1,000 fucking crates, you know? And just everything has to grow, dude. And I just don't like, I don't like purists, man. And that's a big thing in the DJ world.
So let me ask you, do you have a problem? You don't have a problem with celebrity DJs, you know, the people that are, you know, like Shaq or like,
I think
you got these model girls that, you know, I've never heard them, but, they're bringing their celebrity status over to the DJ world. Does that irk you at all?
Nah, man. Nah, because, like, if they could do it, why not, dude? It's like my homie Marin. He's my old homie. He's my old roommate. He manages Nick Hogan now, you know? And you know, you hear the name and like, oh, this was a celebrity. But, see, dude, he's a good DJ. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's a DJ?
Yeah, he's a DJ, bro. Oh. He's good, dog. Like, he's a sick-ass DJ, you know? And it's like with the Shaq. Shaq used to be a DJ before he was a basketball player. A lot of people don't know that about him, you know? But, yeah, like the Paris Hiltons and that. Like, I laugh at it because it's like they're using their avenues to get, you know, in certain places,
which
you know?
Is smart.
Yeah, yeah, fuck smart it. Make thing. Money off it, you know, whatever. I ain't hating. Dog, there's enough food for everybody to eat, dog. And that's the thing with the DJ world. It's like a lot of DJs don't see that. They don't. There's so much in not only this world, but in that DJ world, but in like the industry, in the music industry, of like not wanting to show people how to level up. I'm the biggest person that I'll fucking be like, you want to learn how to DJ? I'll teach you how to DJ. You know, just come over and like be serious about it. Hold your word to it. I'm not a hater when it comes to that kind of stuff. And like a lot of people don't like sharing knowledge. People don't like sharing knowledge because they don't want to be surpassed. And it's like, if you don't want to be surpassed, then step up your game, dude. Like, that's my biggest thing. It's like, I know, dog, there's so many DJs out here. And no offense to any of these DJs out here. Okay? But I know my potential, bro. And I know I'm one of the top tier DJs out here. I just haven't had the opportunity to put myself, I'm known enough and certain people know me, but it's not a staple name out here yet. But that's what I'm trying to work at, you know, because I know I have that potential. I know that I could eventually play at Coachella because you know why? Because my homies are playing there. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, if they could do it, I know I could do it. I just got to put myself in those positions of making myself, accessible to be able to get in that right. In that world, you know, and that's with anything, bro. That's with graphic design. I bring that up just cause with you, but with everything, bro, there's such a fear of sharing knowledge because people don't want to be surpassed, you know. They don't want anybody to look better than them, and I don't know. I ain't a hater, man.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah.
So we're almost at what, like about an hour?
I think so. We've been going for a minute. It doesn't even feel like it. Mm-hmm. Real quick, especially when when you have a conversation and you have, there's so much, obviously we're going to have you back.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to just keep you on your toes and hold you to all your projects, all your new stuff, like Vibes, Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, all right. That stuff.
Volume 69.
Hey. Tell us, Disco, tell the listeners, why is it important to know about?
Well, first of all, before you go down that route, can you tell us or tell the listeners how we got involved and how we've been kind of, you know, meshing with like our podcast? Like, how did we? I know, but yeah. Just give us a real quick.
Well, I mean, I think. What was it? I think you were asking me for like, what? Dog,
No, I think I remember.
Yeah.
You were working on what your projects were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember now. It was Halloween. And
that's right.
And dude, for a year, like on that first Halloween party we had, I wanted to bring him in and we didn't have a DJ, right? Or we did. I don't remember, but then I... Oh, no, actually, it didn't even happen, remember? the Halloween party. That second year, it fell through. So we're like, okay, Monica, my wife, I was like, hey, I need to ask Renee something. Yeah. No, actually, I got your mom's. I talked to your mom.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I need to get Renee's number. Can we? I need to ask him something. I want him to DJ one of my parties.
Yeah, I remember.
But I was just so nervous. I was like, oh man.
I don't know why.
So no, it's because like that whole like Hollywood thing. I thought you were like, because you were traveling and you were doing all these shows, and I don't know. I think I ran into you.
Yeah.
Or we started playing soccer. We started playing soccer.
Yeah.
And just one thing led to another, and we asked you to DJ, and you're like, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So then we started working together on some design stuff. Yeah. And then I asked you about a podcast. Like, we were throwing out ideas on what to put on your website.
Yeah.
Or who you're going to be messing with.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that got dropped for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you, I brought it up again.
Yeah.
But that was with the Selected Series.
That's right. We had Sit Down. Yeah, dude.
You are also a part of this.
Yeah, man, I am. I'm the audio engineer, man. And
that's it.
And the, I guess, yeah, audio engineer, man.
We're also
a pleasure.
Like the sound of it.
You're also putting some music in.
Yeah,
you know?
Shit, the intro beat is mine. That Wonder Track, man. Go ahead and download it on Apple Music and all music platforms. Oh, yeah. Now, yeah, check that out. It's a wonder, man. It's a pleasure to be a part of that, man. Be a part of this with you guys and see what this is going to grow into, man, because this shit has a lot of potential, man, and I'm excited for it.
Are you, other than the vibes, are you going to be doing anything else? Are you...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, dude, I'm dropping a future Baile Funk, which is kind of a song on Apple Music soon. I just got to finish getting it mastered. It's called Cállate. but it's like a Brazilian African type of beat. But it's like hard at the same time. It has kind of like a trap bass line. I'm dropping that soon. Probably after Vibes. I'm really concentrating on Vibes right now. Sometime in May, though. Sometime in May, I'm going to drop it. It's all leading up to an album for the summer. I don't have a specific date for that right now. But, yeah, man, that's really what I want to do. And with all that is keep making music, grow that aspect of it, you know. And that's really it.
Do you have a residency somewhere right now?
Yeah, man, at Bart Lounge, the Ace Hotel.
So that's where people, what days out of the week are you?
Ace Hotel on Thursdays, and then Bar Lounge, Fridays and Saturdays. It depends. I'm actually going to be there on the 26th of April for Dirty Perreo with Jay Patron. Yeah, that's going to be dope. They always have me, he always has me end the night. Shout out Jay Patron. He's actually like an old Colombian friend since we were like four. So now that me and him have been reconnecting, it's been dope.
Do you want to tell the listeners anything before we...
Yeah, man. You guys could follow me on all social media at DXSKO. Or you could go on my website and find all my good stuff. It's www.dxskomusic.com. I'm going to be having merch soon. Going to be selling beats soon. So if you're a rapper or artist that needs that, hit me up. There's an inquiry page on there or contact page. So,
is that where you keep your calendar as well?
Yes, that's where I keep my calendar. You guys can see all my events, all that good stuff, what's coming up. So, like I said, April 26th, I'm at Dirty Perreo with Jay Patron at Bar Lounge. See you guys there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, on that note, we'll go ahead and close out. Thank you. We'll be the few listeners that are tuning in for now.
Thank you to our guest, Disco.
And thank you guys. It was an honor. For real.
Selected Series, Episode 1. It's a wrap.
Selected Series.
Peace.
Peace.
Hey, so Luis, how did you like our interview with Disco?
You know, it's motivating and it puts you in the mind of a hustler. Our guest, Disco, puts you in his mindset, and he puts you you know, kind of like a day in the life. And he explains his upbringing and how he got involved with music and, you know, how he got started, how he blocks out the noise. And it's pretty motivating, like how he just keeps going and he doesn't do like he doesn't listen to any shit.
I actually really like how he jumps from one genre to another and he just keeps chucking away. He was in a scene and then all of a sudden now he's in a completely different zip code. And the reception that people are giving him is pretty good. You know, I go to his shows and he's a really good crowd pleaser. And I really recommend his DJ. Whenever you see him out, and you know, go check out one of his shows. And you know, don't well, take our word for it, but you gotta go see it and listen to it, you know, yourself.
All right, you guys, that was episode 1, Selected Series. Until next time.
Disco.